Bosho, the invitation, responses to disciples' questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 10.
Beloved Bhagwan, over the last few months, I have been going through an amazing process of letting go of my attachments, of clearing the way for my heart to expand to you, the Divine. Thank you, Bhagwan, for showering me with so much love. Am I worthy of so much?
Everyone is worthy of much more. Much more that he is receiving. But the responsibility of not receiving more is yours. People live a closed life. They keep all their doors and windows of the heart completely shut. It happens because of a natural phenomenon that the child is so small and so helpless and so dependent and is always in fear. Everybody is bigger and powerful. His experience of fear in the very beginning starts the process of closing the heart. Fear is a closing process. Love is just the opposite, the opening process. But unfortunately, the way humanity has lived, it has lived in fear. Even if it loves, it is out of fear. And the love out of fear is absolutely false. It is better to be loveless, because at least it will go on hurting you to the point that you will have to change, than to have a substitute false love. which consoles you, deceives you, and keeps you where you are, a closed being. The child is told by the parents to love them. It is almost an order. Love cannot be ordered. And if through order something resembling love happens, it is false. And deep inside there is hate, because nobody wants to be ordered, manipulated. But every parent is manipulating his own children. I'm your mother, love me. What is so great in being your mother? What is so great in being your father? If there is something great, the child will start loving you. And then there will be a totally different world. The child will learn to love on his own. Not because you have ordered, but because the way you are. Love arises out of deep respect and gratitude. Seeing your beauty and grandeur, seeing your unconditional love, which asks nothing in response, not even love. If the parents can sour the child with love, without asking any response from him, the response will come, and this response will have an authenticity. It will come from the opening of the heart. The child will know that there is no fear. These are not the people to be afraid of. You can open. And this is the beginning of a totally different life. Once you have learned that the open heart is not only capable of receiving love from your parents, it is also capable of receiving love from the whole existence. The whole secret is a simple thing. The opening of the heart. But what actually has been happening is neither the parents love each other, the husband loves because he is a husband. He is supposed to love. The wife loves under submission because she has been enslaved through marriage. she has to love. When there comes some compulsoriness, the beauty of love disappears and the reality of love changes completely to its opposite. Husband and wife love each other and hate each other too, simultaneously. They hate because they have to love under compulsion, under the rules of society, convention, law. The husband can demand love, the wife can demand love, but a demanding love, in subtle ways they demand, not directly. As the husband comes home, the wife was perfectly okay. Listening to the radio, looking at the television, singing herself, and as the husband comes, she immediately lies down, and suddenly the headache . The story is that Adam was constantly bothering God. First, because he was alone and he had no idea that there is something missing in his life. But he was seeing a bull is doing something to a cow, and he will run to God and say that, what is happening? What that bull is doing to the cow? And the God will say, you don't bother me again and again. I have told you, the bull is loving the cow. And all the wild animals and the birds. And he was again and again asking. Finally God became tired and told him that, I will also give you a wife. And the next day in the morning, he ran after God and said, just a minute please, what is the headache? The first night, the very first night of humanity's beginning. And the headache is the first problem that arises. The wife is having a headache. These are ways of manipulating. When the wife is having a headache, naturally, you have to be loving. This is not a time to quarrel or fight or to argue or tell her things that she has done wrong. Some other time, this is not the time. She is already suffering. And the headache is the way to ask for your sympathy. But it is not love. The man will show sympathy, and sympathy is ugly in comparison to love. always remember all these qualities are relative. Sympathy is good in comparison to antipathy, but sympathy is very poor and ugly in comparison to love. You have heard about Albert Einstein's law of relativity. Somebody has reduced it to a simple maxim. The theory of relativity says something that which side of the toilet door you are. If you are inside, time is going fast, and if you are outside, time is going slow. It is the same time, and just the door is creating the whole trouble. Love is something that can blossom in its beauty only when unasked, undemanded, even unconsciously. When it comes on its own, it has tremendous beauty. The moment you demand, it may come, because the wife is dependent on you. And in certain ways the husband is dependent on wife. Love happens between two independent people, not between two is slaves of each other. And the poor children are brought up by these two persons who themselves don't know the secret of the opening of the heart. Naturally, they start from the very beginning. The mother goes on saying, "He is your daddy." Smile. As if these things can be ordered. Smile. And the poor child has to smile. Now, what is there in this dodo you call daddy that the poor child has to smile? And the poor child does not understand what this fellow has done that he has to smile. But he has to smile. That smile becomes naturally Jimmy Carter smile. Absolutely false. The child starts becoming a politician. He smiles because he knows that way he is appreciated, thought to be a beautiful child. If he does not smile, he is thought to be unworthy. And nobody wants to be. condemned as unworthy. And that's how slowly the child starts learning false things, false smiles, false love, false respect. In a more conscious and authentic world, the husband and the wife first should learn how to remain independent and yet allow the love to pass through. They should not come too close. Khalil Gibran is right when he says to the lovers, you should stand like the pillars of a temple, far apart, yet supporting the same roof. Your love should be supported by you, but you should leave enough gap for each to have his own individual territory, his own individual space, his own individuality. You should not trespass each other. But what to say of trespassing? Husband and wife become detectives, CBI agents, against each other. They are continuously looking by the corner of the eye what is happening. This is not love. This is domination. This is pure animal sexuality. And a child is born out of this situation. And unfortunately has to be brought up by these people. They don't know themselves what love is. They miss the train. Now they will train the child to miss the train. And this goes on from generation to generation. Just the other day, there was a question from Veena, how to open the heart? It is just like somebody is asking how to open the eyes. If you were forced from the very beginning and ordered to open the eyes, perhaps you would have retaliated by closing them. That would have been your assertiveness, your individuality. And you may have forgotten completely how to open the heart. Now, do you think there can be some training to open the heart? Some discipline? Some technique? That will be another mistake. You can pretend that your heart is open. That's all that will happen by your discipline and training and technique. What is needed is a deep understanding why the heart is closed. There is no need to be worried about opening it. Just knowing why it is closed, you will come upon all those fears that have closed it. Now those fears are not there. But once you have closed the doors and the windows, they have remained closed. Now nobody is forcing you. Now you are grown up enough, you can assert yourself, you can be an individual, you can say to your father that if you are lovable, I will love, not because you are my father. You can say to your mother that create the quality of lovableness and I will love you. Not only I, but others also will love you. Not because you are my mother. Love is not a rational thing. It is not a syllogism, because she is your mother, hence you have to love her. Wherever comes any kind of compulsoriness, love is very delicate and disappears. Everybody is much more worthy than he can even dream of. To receive love, to share love, to rejoice in making love your very life. Birth is not in your hands, neither is death in your hands. Between birth and death, only one thing is in your hands, and that is love. And unfortunately, that which was your only freedom is not available to everybody. Prem Nira, you are saying, am I worthy of so much? You are worthy of much more. Just learn to be receptive. Just learn to be humble. Just learn to be simple. Just learn to be trusting. Even if the whole world deceives you, still trust. Because that is their problem if they are deceptive. It is not your problem. What happens? A single man deceives you and you start distrusting the whole humanity. Do you see the absurdity of it? Even if the whole humanity deceives you, I say to you, still trust. Because trust is much more valuable. It has an intrinsic value. It does not depend whether people are trustworthy or not. And if you can trust in spite of their untrustworthiness, you may create a revolution in their hearts also, because they are also as human as you are. They are also victims of the same society and the same pattern as you are. You are fortunate if you have opened one window. You are fortunate if by accident a door has flung open. You are fortunate not to be part of the closed humanity. Now, this little opening has to be made bigger. In fact, a movement has to come in the life of love when all the windows and doors disappear, not only that, but all the walls disappear also. You are just under the open sky, under the stars, and you will be showered from all directions, all dimensions, with so much immense love and blissfulness that you cannot believe why it is happening to you. It is the only miracle in the world. Walking on the water is not a miracle, it's just a stupidity. Turning water into wine is not a miracle, it is a crime. The only miracle I am aware of is a completely, totally open heart. No situation, no condition can close it. Meditation will help you. Meditation is almost a golden key, a master key, which opens many doors. It can open the door of love too. As you become silent, as you become peaceful, as you become aware of your life force, as you become aware there is no death, fear disappears. And the disappearance of the fear from the very roots, now there is no point in keeping your heart closed. You can open your heart to friend and foe, to those who are familiar and to those who are strangers. And you will be receiving gifts which you had not ever imagined. You are saying, Nida, over the last few months I have been going through an amazing process of letting go of my attachments. It is an amazing process, but it is the process I have been telling my whole life to everybody, that your attachment is a barrier. It is not a bridge. Your attachment keeps you unaware of your own great potential. The more you become attached to things, to people, the more you become a slave. Attachment is another beautiful name of spiritual slavery. A man who is attached to money is a slave. I used to know a man. I have never come across another of the same quality of attachment. He was so money mad that even if you have a 100 rupee note, he will say, just let me touch it. And he will touch it as if he is touching his beloved with such romance. It was impossible to give him money and to get it back. I have inquired about all the people who have known him. They said he has never returned anybody's money. And people feel pitiable. Nobody is angry about it. They just think he is insane. Obsessed with money. Walking on the street in a full moon night, he suddenly picked up something and then threw it away and said, if I meet this man, I will kill him. The son of a bitch spits mucus as if it is a rupee. It shines in the light. Such was his madness. He had a small cloth shop, and for a few months I used to live just by the side of his shop, in a small house. I was puzzled to watch the whole show that went on in his shop. There were people whom he knew that they will ask things for on credit. he will immediately give me a sign and hide in the back side of the shop in the bathroom. One old woman was particularly that he always avoided, and I had to tell her that he is not here. But one day I said to her that, what is the matter? Whenever you come, you never found him here. She said, there is nothing the matter. He is afraid of me. Because he owes me money. And naturally I will purchase things and I will tell him, deduct it from the money you owe. I said, if that is the matter, then he is hiding in the bathroom. She said, really? I said, you go on. She said, well, it does not look right. I said, you go on and open the door. So she went and opened the door. He came running out. He was very angry with me. I said, if I had known that this is the reason, I would have never deceived that woman that you are not in the shop. You owe money to her. He said, I owe money to everybody in this whole area. Nobody can say that I don't owe money to him. But you know me. I cannot leave money once I get it. It is almost like a heart attack to give the money back. It is verging on insanity. But all attachment may be different in degrees, are a kind of putting yourself down. And making something so important, people are ready to die for money, people are ready to die for power, people are ready to do anything to fulfill their ambition. All these attachments destroy your worthiness. They take away all that is beautiful in you and valuable in you. You become smaller than the things you are attached and infatuated. A man who has no attachment has tremendous freedom. He has nothing to lose. And if everything is lost, he will not look back, even for a single time. I have told you the story of Diogenes. He used to live naked. He is the only man in the Western world who can be compared to Mahavira in India. Both were contemporaries. Both lived naked. Both had immensely beautiful bodies. Very strong people. Diogenes was going to the river. He used to carry only a begging bowl. Mahavira did not use any begging bowl either, because everything that you become used to creates a subtle psychological slavery. He used to make a cup of his hands to drink water or to take food. But Diogenes, like all old renunciates, used to carry a begging bowl, and he was running towards the river. He was so thirsty and it was hot, and just then he saw a dog running by his side. And the dog jumped ahead of him in the river and started drinking. Diogenes felt very much offended, but he also felt deeply grateful to the dog that he has shown him a begging bowl is not needed. You can drink water without it. Why carry it unnecessarily? If a dog can manage to live without a begging bowl, I am a man, I can manage. First he threw the begging bowl, and he said that was my only position. And I was thinking that I have overcome all attachment, but throwing that bowl, I knew that now I am really free. Otherwise, I used to keep an eye. Somebody may steal the begging bowl. It was a beautiful bowl, presented to him by a king, beautifully carved. In the night also, he used to touch the begging bowl once or twice to see that it is still there. He said, since that moment the dog taught me the lesson, I have felt such freedom and such burden is relieved from my heart. If this is the situation with a begging bowl, what will be the situation of people who are possessed to so many things, so much possessive, that things become their only life? And remember, The moment you become attached to a person, the person is no more a person. You have changed the person into a commodity, into a thing. Only things can be possessed. If a husband possesses the wife, he has reduced her into a thing, and the wife can never forgive him. If the wife possesses the husband, she has committed the gravest sin by reducing a human being into a commodity. Only things can be possessed, not conscious human beings. But you possess even your children. You say, this is my child. You should be more aware. You should say, this child has come through me. I have been the passage, but he does not belong to me. He belongs to the existence. If this insight settles in you, then you will not try the child to become a carbon copy of you. Because what can you teach to the child? All that you know is of the past. It is dead. It is gone. It will never come back. And the child has to live in a future about which you don't have any understanding. There is no possibility for you to know the future. Prepare the child for the unknown. Prepare the child to be adventurous. Prepare the child to learn to live dangerously. Because the more safety and security you ask, the more you are enclosed in a prison of your own making. And a prisoner cannot be a lover. Only freedom knows the fragrance of love, and only freedom knows your immense worthiness. And that does not give you any ego, any arrogance. It makes you really more humble than ever. That you don't deserve it is still the existence out of its abundance has given you so much. You learn for the first time the sense of gratitude, gratefulness. To me, gratitude is the only prayer. Nothing has to be said, just a feeling of gratefulness. But people are full of complaints. Not gratitude. Just Veena has asked how to open the heart. Because she has written a letter which was ugly. And now she has written another letter She thinks she has improved upon it, but the basic points are still there. She used to live in this house, and just to make a bigger library, 17 people from the house has been removed into other houses in the campus. The whole campus is one. She was never grateful that she is in the house, but she is complaining very seriously that she has been removed from the house. She is not worried that 16 other people have also gone, and those 16 have written letters of thankfulness, that they are grateful that they lived in the house with me, and they are grateful that they have been chosen to make place for the library. They are immensely happy and thankful. Only she is complaining that why she has been removed to another house. She is living with her boyfriend in the room. She knows that we don't have enough space for people. We are trying to find more and more places, and within 2-3 months you all will have places from the ashram. But just my name and the price of any house goes 3 times up. So it is a little difficult, but I know you are living in difficulties outside. The same flat that was given for 1700 rupees per month before our coming back to Pune is now being given to sannyasins on 8000 rupees per month. Prices have gone 7-8 times higher. But Veena will not feel grateful that she is in the ashram. She will not think that thousands of sannyasins are living outside, paying too much, 8 or 10 times more than the market price. Two 2000 sannyasins are living outside. She is demanding that she wants a separate room to herself. That means a separate room for her lover and a separate room for herself. Aware perfectly that we don't have a space, demanding and then your demand is not possible at this moment to be fulfilled, you become closed, you become angry. She has been angry, so angry that I was puzzled. Whenever I will come, she was sitting with folded hands, but she will never open her eyes. She was perfectly aware that if I see her eyes, I will immediately see what is going on in her. To avoid that, she was keeping her eyes closed. And I knew that she is boiling within. Rather than feeling grateful that you are part of a commune where everybody loves you, everybody respects each other, where there is no hierarchy, where there is nobody higher and nobody lower, that you are living in a totally new world, a miniature experiment. She is concerned about stupid things. And that's how the mind functions. And then it becomes closed. And when it is closed, then she is angry that I am not loving towards her. My love is available, just as the light of the sun is available. You just have to open your eyes. My love cannot be addressed to particular people, because love cannot be to me a relationship. I am love. I can share with you. I am sharing every moment. Those who are capable to receive it will receive it as much as they are capable, and their capacity depends on the opening of their heart. But an angry heart or a fearful heart cannot be open. And it is simply a question of understanding. You don't have to force your heart open. That won't help. You have simply to understand, like you were putting 2 + 2 = 5. Now no training is needed, just a simple understanding that you have been counting wrong. Finished. You start counting 2 + 2 = 4. You don't ask what to do with 5. How to get rid with 5. Life is mostly a question of understanding. So just understand and pay attention to whatever life has given to you. Are you worthy of it? We are not worthy of anything. Intelligence, love, life itself, we are not worthy. If you were not given life, you could not have registered any complaint in the complaint office, that why I am not giving life when everybody else Tom, Dick, Harry, everybody else is giving life. No, there would have been no possibility. Life is given to you. Capacity to grow is given to you. Every opportunity to come to your ultimate peak of consciousness is given to you. A heart that can blossom in love is given to you. Just feel grateful to life. And as you will feel grateful, more and more worthy you will become. And more humble. No grudge, no complaint. This is exactly the state of a religious man. It does not need to belong to any organized religion, then you become religious. Religiousness is your gratefulness towards existence. Such beautiful trees, such infinite sky, and so many stars, and you have not paid for anything. And this immense universe is given to you with all its beauty, sunrises, sunsets, and all the flowers, and all beautiful people. Just watch and you will be aware that so much is already given, but you are taking it for granted. You have never looked at it as a gift from the existence. Without your asking, without your demanding. And once you start seeing all that has been already given, your heart will be full of gratitude. And that gratitude will open all the doors, all the windows, and existence is bridged by only one thing, and that is gratefulness. Then miracles start happening to you. Then mysteries go on opening their doors to you. The more humble, the more simple, the more grateful, the more worthy you become. And your worthiness has no limits. Isaac Asimov has a beautiful statement. God loves all men but is enchanted by none. Existence loves everybody. And a man who has disappeared as an ego, as a personality, is nothing but a vehicle to existence. He does not love, he is love. And I would like you to remind about Oscar Wilde. He says, to love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong romance. And if you will see what miracles are happening around you, within you, you will respect yourself too. You will love yourself too. If the whole existence loves you, you will love yourself. And that is the only romance that knows no divorce. But it is not arrogant. It is not egoistic. That has to be remembered, because ego is a closing factor. Arrogance divides you from existence. To be nobody is the greatest achievement in the world. But we are living in a very insane world. And when I say insane world, I only mean the insane humanity. It goes on demanding and it has no gratitude for anything. And everybody thinks that he is very worthy, just life is not giving right opportunities. One should understand in a different way. Whatever is given, you don't even deserve that. There is no right to demand. Everything is given out of abundance, not because of your right. A woman went to her psychiatrist and said, "Doctor, I want to talk to you about my husband. He thinks he is a refrigerator." "That's not so bad," said the doctor. "It is a rather harmless complex." "Well, maybe," replied the lady, "but he sleeps with his mouth open and the light keeps me away." We are living in such a world where you never see that you are mad. Everybody is throwing all garbage on other people. The woman thinks that the husband is insane. And in actuality, she is insane. She believes that he is a refrigerator. And the problem is not that he is a refrigerator. He can go to hell. The problem is he sleeps with the open mouth. And the light keeps her awake the whole night. Always remember, whenever you start condemning anything, remember always whenever you are going to complain against existence, have you made a list of what has been given to you by existence? No, nobody has any idea even that anything has been given. But any small thing that is missing, you make so much fuss about it, that shows your insanity. The sane person is utterly blissful just because so much is available and without asking. He has never asked for this wonderful world, and he has been given it. And he has not even thanked the universe.
Beloved Bhagwan, all these years with you, in the commune, I did what I was told. Now it seems it is all up to me. But who am I to know what to do? By the way, I'm German.
Siegfried Devin even without your saying, I would have known you are a German. The dictators in the world are created by us, because we want somebody else to tell us what to do. There is a very subtle reason for it. When you are told by somebody else what to do, you don't have any responsibility whether it is right or wrong. You are free of responsibility. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to be worried about it. The whole responsibility goes to the person who is giving you the orders to do something. People like Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Ronald Reagan just are not there in their powerful positions because of their inequality. They are there because millions of people want to be told what to do. Without anybody dictating them, they are at a loss. We create the dictators. Adolf Hitler was almost crazy, but a nation, one of the most intelligent nations in the world, which has created a great tradition of philosophers, thinkers, theologians of the first rate, even in this century, Germany has produced people like Martin Heidegger, who is perhaps this century's greatest philosopher, but he was also a follower of Adolf Hitler. It seems almost incomprehensible that a man of the qualities of Martin Heidegger I have looked into all the philosophers of the world. Martin Heidegger seems to have such a genius, such a great originality of approaching things from absolutely new directions. But he was a follower of Adolf Hitler. He supported him. I was wondering what could be the reason. And the whole nation supported that madman. The reason is nobody wants to have any responsibility. But the moment you lose your responsibility, you think it is a burden. Somebody else takes it, you also lose your individuality. You also lose your freedom. Your responsibility is not separate from your freedom, your individuality. Once you drop your responsibility on somebody else's shoulders, you have reduced yourself into a non-entity. Of course, now nobody will blame you if something goes wrong. But you have lost your soul. People condemn the dictators, but nobody thinks what is the psychology, how dictators are created, who creates them. We are the people who create them. And we create them in the hope that they will take the responsibility. But we are not aware that with responsibility goes our freedom, goes our individuality, goes democracy, goes freedom of thinking or expression, everything. We have lost our soul the moment we give our responsibility into somebody else's hand. And there are people who enjoy to dominate, to dictate. These are insane people. So it is a strange situation. People want to be unburdened of responsibility, and of course there are a few people who are ready to take all the responsibilities, because they are also taking all your freedom. They are taking all your rights, your very individuality. They are people whose only will is for power. They have a different kind of insanity, but it seems to be very fitting. There seems to be a certain synchronicity between the people who want to get rid of responsibility without knowing that they are getting rid of their very soul, and there are other insane people who love only one thing, power. In the commune, you were happy because I was not at all involved in the commune. I was in silence and isolation. And naturally, a clique took all the responsibility. And you were very happy to work 12 hours, 14 hours a day. Even God became tired in 6 days. You were working 7 days. You had no other time even to think about yourself. There is some psychological background to be understood. Why you loved it? You loved it because it helped you to forget yourself. You loved it because it helped you to be so occupied from the morning till night and then falling asleep, never finding a small gap of time just to see that your life is slipping by and you have not done anything even to be introduced with it. That death is going to knock any day on your door, but you are not prepared. All these worries had no time. You were so tired, but you were happy. Here nobody is dictating you. It was all against me, because I was in isolation and silence. I was not interfering in anything. The moment I started speaking, the clique that has become the dictators, they all escaped from the commune. They knew it perfectly that I will disturb the whole dictatorship. That dictatorship cannot be continued. That is destroying people. That is killing them. Killing their very spirituality. The whole clique disappeared immediately as I started speaking. The moment they saw that I had come into the commune and I will not tolerate such kind of structure that they have maintained. I want you to be meditative. I want you to have some time to relax. I want you some time to think about the vital problems of life and to do something about them. And we have all the arrangements for meditations, for group therapies, for counseling, for all kinds of possibilities that can help you to become a spiritual giant. The work is needed because you need food, you need clothes. So it is good 5 hours working, and that should also not be too tight. Here we are not going to create an army to conquer the world. We are creating a commune of individuals with their own spirituality, unhindered, uninterfered. We want them to cleanse their mind, sharpen their intelligence, and enter into the deepest center of their being. Those 4-5 hours' work is just to keep you alive so that you can meditate, so that you can realize one day a consciousness full of light, full of joy. Here nobody is going to tell you, Deven, what to do. I want you to find what you can do the best, what you would like to do which you can enjoy, which will not be a burden, which will not be imposed on you, which will be your own creativity. I want your work also to be part of your spiritual growth, not against it, but for it. But that can come only from your own spontaneity. You have to take the responsibility on yourself. Because I want individuals absolutely free, responsible, alert, aware, neither allowing anybody to dictate them, nor allowing themselves to dictate anybody. It has to be a beautiful communion. It is not based on any dictatorial ideology. It is based basically on ultimate freedom. And if freedom is the ultimate goal, then it should be your first step too. Because only the first step will lead you to the last step. It is not possible that your whole life you are just a beast of burden, doing things what people tell you to do, and then suddenly one day you will become enlightened. That is not possible. You will have to take all the responsibility that you are doing, and you will have to grow in your consciousness and awareness so that only the right flows through your actions, that whatever you do beautifies the commune, helps people. It is a gathering, not a crowd. It is a brotherhood, not a factory. Here every individual has the equal opportunity to grow into whatsoever he wants to grow. And my whole effort is that you should not be interfered. naturally you will be finding it difficult. But don't be stuck to your Germanhood. That is a kind of disease. The world has suffered 2 world wars because of Germans. And don't be too much concerned that you may go wrong. It is always good sometimes to go wrong. Just don't go wrong again on the same point. Do something else, some new wrong. Always be in search of some novelty. Mistakes are absolutely needed for learning. But one should not commit the same mistake again. And everybody has to be aware of it. Nobody is responsible for you. And you don't have to ask anybody's permission. Even if you commit something wrong, there is a famous law of stewards. It is easier to be forgiven than to get permission. And remember another law. It is dangerous and never follow it. It is called Jacob's law. To err is human, to blame it on someone else is even more human. Don't do it ever. To err is human, and to accept your responsibility is the dignity of a human being. And don't go on thinking what to do. Do something. Parkinson's law is, delay is the deadliest form of denial. Don't delay. Do something that seems appropriate in the situation and congenial to your spirit. And it is not that you have to go on doing continuously. Doing is not the goal of life. Being is the goal of life. Doing is only to support your survival so that you can find your being. So don't wait for somebody else to tell you. But all these centuries that have men passed, this has been the case. Always looking at the politicians, looking at the priests, looking at neurotic type people who proclaim themselves prophets, son of God, messengers of God. And people who don't want to take any responsibility immediately fall in their trap. And all your prophets and all your messengers of God, are so ordinary. Your holy scriptures are not even worthy to be called great literature. It is third class journalism, nothing much more. And they are bringing laws and rules and regulations for you. And people have accepted all kinds of nonsense just in order not to seek and search yourself, to avoid search. To avoid seeking, people have even avoided thinking. Somebody should do the job for them. And the people who have been giving you your moral codes, your ethos, your lifestyles, are the people who remind me of another law, Mott's law. A conclusion is the place where you get tired of thinking. All the conclusions that your prophets have given to you are nothing but they got tired of thinking. Just the other night I was looking at a beautiful story. I became interested because it was saying why Moses and all his Jews, his followers, went on wandering in the desert for 40 years. So I became interested that it seems the man is going to give idea. It was that they had lost a quarter. They looked all over the desert. It took 40 years. Nobody knows whether they got the quarter or not. I don't think. the people you have been following are great people. Great in their neurosis, this rule will explain to you Wood's rule for drinking. They have given you ideas for everything. I always drink standing up because it is much easier to sit down when I get drunk standing up than it is to get standing up when I get drunk sitting down. Avoid these thinkers. They have dictated humanity long enough. Now stand up on your own two legs. Remember that you are alone and there is no God and there are no messengers and there is no dictator. You have to be decisive about your own life. It is your life, and you have to live it according to your own style. Only then you can make your life a celebration. Otherwise, it is burdened with so many rules and regulations that you cannot dance with that much burden. Devin I think few jokes may do for you. Just the only fear is that you are a German, whether you will get them or not. Because they say when you tell a joke to an Englishman, he laughs twice. Once just to be polite. And then in the middle of the night when he gets it. A German laughs only once. Because everybody else is laughing. And if you tell a joke to a Jew, he will not laugh at all. On the contrary, he will say to you that it is an old joke. And moreover, you are telling it all wrong. But I think being here with me for so long. You may have started getting, if not the whole joke, something of it. A priest and a drunken bus driver arrived at the pearly gates where they met St. Peter. I am the village priest and would like to be admitted to heaven, said the priest. And I am the village bus driver and I want to come in too, said the drunk. Okay, said St. Peter, you, Mr. Priest, will have to wait over there for a few years. But you, Mr. Bus Driver, you can go right in. But wait a minute, said the priest. I have preached every Sunday in church and taught people how to pray and be good. But he is nothing but a drunkard. Listen, said St. Peter, when you preached, everybody slept. But when he drove, everybody prayed like crazy.
And I'll sing.